Oh, great point. I know you all didn't get to hear her, but she was saying they're doing a much better job of spreading out amongst a lot of different universities. And that's one nice thing about, frankly, COVID and our new reliance on virtual worlds. You really can engage with students in a much broader way without having to send a representative. Thank you so much. That's great. Anybody else have one they want to share? I just gave a room of lawyers an opportunity to brag and no one's taking it. All right, it's late in the day, I get that. Here are some easy things that you might think about encouraging, all right? The first one I already mentioned, and that is change maternity leave to parental leave. It's easy and it combats a traditional idea of who's responsible for childcare, ensures that fathers can take a caregiver role in their home. All right, another one. Evaluate your dress code policy. This prevents policies that treat men and women differently. Y'all, I started at the Attorney General's office in 1992, and we had to wear pantyhose. Does anybody remember this? I mean, what on earth? Yeah, that happened. So, and again, this will also, you want to look for anything that assumes black hair is unprofessional or inappropriate for a workplace. Allow your employees to put their pronouns and pronunciation in their signature blocks. We have a client right now that we are helping, helping them to understand why this is not that hard and why this makes a big difference. They refuse to allow an employee to do this, and they sent that refusal in writing, which the employee captured and then spread to the media. And so that's been picked up. It's not that hard, and one of the things we tell people a lot in our training classes is you don't have to agree with or even understand someone else's choices with regard to their gender identity. You just have to respect them, and allowing them to do this on their signature block seems like pretty low-hanging fruit. And then finally, curate your marketing materials to reflect diverse groups. But I need to have a little asterisk here. Just as we learned from Jennifer a while ago, any sort of performative marketing or marketing that doesn't actually reflect what's going on in the organization will come back to bite you. So let's get that representation up internally, and then let's be sure to share that as we go forward. All right, y'all with me still? Okay, let's go up the tree just a little bit. So these are things that require a little bit more effort. Think about doing some training. Now, for some people, this is really scary because they think they're going to get a trainer in here and they might use really scary words like white privilege, right? We don't want our people to freak out. Okay, that's fair. I get it. You want to be cautious about who you invite into your organization, but there are a lot of teams handling this type of training in a way that's respectful to everyone. And just like I was saying earlier, you don't want to bring someone in that's going to do more finger pointing than welcoming and helping you recognize what you're doing right and how this can be even better. In your exit interviews, or if you're doing retention surveys, which I really hope you are, because in the aftermath of the Great Resignation, people are really leaving. So if you have people who are staying, find out why. What are you doing right so that you can continue to do that even more? But in these opportunities to solicit employee feedback, try to measure their feelings of belonging. Psychological safety is a bit of a trending expression right now. If you don't recognize it already, please do Google it, because it's becoming more and more important in the type of environment that we're creating for our employees. And you want to do this so that you can identify those hidden inequities. I got a fantastic phone call this morning from a Fortune 50 company that is going to start creating a third rail avenue for employees to share concerns when those concerns don't necessarily rise to the level of a complaint and they don't involve a protected category, but they carry that kernel of discontent. You know what I'm talking about? Just that kernel of discontent where they feel like, I don't think I'm being treated all that fairly. And that kernel is what grows and sprouts into real live aggression and real live complaints. And so I'm thrilled that this organization is looking for ways to go down this path. And then finally, go back and check your job descriptions and look for gendered language. Okay, this is so cool, and I couldn't figure out how to do it, so you're going to have to do it on your own time. But if you get a chance, just Google the gender bias decoder. This is so cool. You just put in, you copy your job posting, and you put it into the decoder, and it immediately tells you if your job posting is gendered or not. It's fascinating, and you may or may not agree with the finding, but it's pretty cool. And so just to kind of show you, these are what they define as masculine words, and these are what they define as feminine words. Now, this felt a little weird to me, but it's based on research, supposedly, and supposedly women are slower to put themselves out there for positions that carry the masculine words. So just kind of as a thought exercise, I'm not saying that I necessarily agree with their findings, but it might help, you know, generate a discussion with your hiring panel about how we're posting these positions. Finally, for my part, the highest hanging fruit. And these things include blind hiring, hide the demographic or identifying characteristics in certain subjective recruitment activities, and definitely use panel interviews. I can't tell you how many organizations will have one gatekeeper, and that one person is going through all the resumes and deciding who gets in. And guess what? Everybody that gets in is somebody that guy wants to have a beer with.